Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter back with another episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. This time to discuss some Friday night racing, Friday, January the 21st, 2022, up at Woodbine Mohawk. And this time I'm happy to be joined by a special guest here today. Not last time, but a while back, and especially in some of the roundtables, we've had Derek Givner with us of the DRF Harness. So this is one of his DRF Harness colleagues, Greg Reinhardt. Greg, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Edison. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, Greg, so obviously, as I alluded to, you do some work for the DRF Harness, pretty active out there on the Twitter world. But talk to us a little bit about your background in the sport in general, and then, of course, with your time with the DRF Harness.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm kind of a convert, I guess, from the thoroughbred side. I grew up in South Dakota, didn't have much knowledge of harness racing, but I did like the thoroughbreds, watched Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup and things of that nature. But when I was just starting college, my family moved to the Pittsburgh area. So at that point, I started following harness racing there at the Meadows, and the Meadows Racing Network at the time was on our cable system, which gave me access to basically any track they covered, the Meadowlands and things of that nature. At the time, I was in college, like I said, and was really into doing websites and kind of wanted to see if I could get more involved in harness racing. And my favorite driver at the time was Luke Ouellette, who was the leading driver at the Meadowlands, and was lucky enough to get to work with him for a while. We did a website together, his official website, did that for a while. And I worked at the Canadian publication Harness Edge magazine for a few years. They unfortunately went out of business after the slots program in Ontario went away, but was lucky enough to land with DRF a few years ago and have been with them since.
Well, Greg, so lots of other questions I can ask you about going through your Twitter profile. A lot of different topics you love to cover that I do as well. But I guess we'll start with, since you mentioned obviously a convert from the thoroughbred side, much like I was, honestly. So today, obviously, I'm assuming you consider yourself more a harness fan, but as a bettor, as a fan, do you still kind of watch the thoroughbreds too, a little bit of everything? What do you do?
Yeah, I definitely still watch the thoroughbreds, you know, all the big events. I enjoy horse racing of all kinds. I'll even, you know, as the Meadowlands is going on, I'll usually have TVG on and watch low saddle too with the quarters. So, you know, I also like NASCAR. So anything that goes fast in a circle, I is fine with me.
Well, Greg, something else I'll ask you about that I feel like we haven't talked about on the show yet, but, you know, it seems to be I just heard someone else talking on a radio show this morning about it. It seems to be, I guess, the newest app sweeping the world that we'll care about for a month and never again. But Wordle, people are starting to see tweeting out their things. I started this like a week ago. I'm like 8 for 9, but I generally take like 5 or 6 tries. Well, what's your experience with the app, Ben?
I started it last week. I saw some people doing it, you know, on Twitter and I like those sort of things, you know, like moles and things. So I thought I'd give it a shot. I think I haven't missed one yet. I've been very lucky. I kind of have a little bit of a system, which I guess I'll keep to myself, not to give it away. But yeah, I enjoy, you know, I enjoy things like that and gave that a try and we'll probably keep doing it as long as that's kind of the end thing to do.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing for our listeners out there. It's Wordle, Wordle. It's an app on the App Store, and kind of reminds me of an old GSN Game Show Network game show lingo. You know, you got to like try to guess this 5-letter word. It'll come up yellow if you've got the in the word, but not in the right spot. Green if it's in the right spot. And yeah, I mean, I guess obviously the goal was to get it as few tries as possible, but you've got up to 6 to get it successfully. And gosh, you're doing a little better than me then if you haven't missed one. We both started last week. You haven't missed one. I only missed one that I feel like I probably should have had, but I digress there, Greg. So next thing we'll ask, since you do say you follow a lot of other sports, obviously this past weekend, the big football weekend, as a fan or as a gambler or anything, how was it for you? Because I can tell you, for me as a gambler, it was not a pretty weekend, or as a fan for my poor Steelers.
Yeah, I unfortunately root for the Dallas Cowboys. I rooted for the Dallas Cowboys since I was a little kid. I think I started following them in the mid-80s. I have pictures of myself with the Danny White jersey on at a young age. And unfortunately, they also were defeated on Sunday. So I will also be watching from the sidelines going forward. But, you know, it was, you know, other than the Dallas game, which, you know, I wish it had gone like the other ones where it was a blowout. They weren't very competitive, except I guess the Cincinnati game was as well. But, no, it was a rough weekend here and a disappointing end to the Cowboys season.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm always that opposite person when it comes to statistics, analytics, whatever it's worth. So I'll be one to say, for the record, I don't necessarily, I mean, obviously the way it worked out did not work, but maybe with like 2 or 3 more seconds left, I don't necessarily hate that last play call from the Cowboys, to be honest with you. I try to pick up a cheap 15 yards, but I think you got to know there to hand it to the umpire, you know, get the ball spotted, and, you know, got to be ready and on the ball if that's the play you plan to run. But that's got to be a really disappointing way as a fan, I'm sure, to watch the season end as the clock just ticks down.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like things in with the Cowboys, you kind of tend to see things you've never really seen before. And that was kind of the same way. And, you know, like you said, I don't think it was necessarily a horrible play. They just, you know, made a mistake not getting the ball back to the official. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was going to be a low percentage, you know, throw into the end zone trying to win the game. So I can't say, you know, like they, you know, it was going to be, they gave it away having to run it in from the 1 yard line or something. It was still going to be a low percentage play, but it's unfortunate that their chances of winning went to 0 when the clock ran out.
Yeah, for sure. But nonetheless, it's still probably, gosh, the best game of the weekend, for sure. Yeah, my poor Steelers never really had much hope. I don't even think I was very optimistic when they were up 7-0. I was actually in Massachusetts this past weekend, so for sure, Patriots fans were not having a very good time of it, and I suppose no Eagles fans either. So, and I guess the first game, you know, I listened to on the radio driving to Massachusetts. I guess that ended up being an okay game, but yeah, hopefully we get some closer, more competitive games coming up this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the Cincinnati game and the Dallas game were the only ones that weren't basically over at halftime, I think, but that's kind of the way it goes sometimes.
Well, Greg, I guess to talk a little bit more on DRF stuff you do, DRF Harness, DRF Thoroughbreds, I guess the big announcement yesterday is a Formulator going to be offered for free, their top premium data product for those DRF bet customers. So that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, we hope people on that side are definitely going to check that out. You know, DRF Bets is our AADW, and we're hoping people will give it a look, especially. You know, a lot of people use Formulator and have to pay for it. And, you know, if you switch over to DRF Bets, now you can get it for free. So, you know, we're hoping that'll be something that really interests people and can give a boost to the ADW.
So, Greg, just to talk a little more about your colleagues, I guess I mentioned that obviously we've had Derek Givner on the show in quite a bit, a couple of those roundtables, and gosh, I guess I'm completely amiss here in leaving out Garnett Barnsdale as well, who, I guess on the flip side, he's pretty happy for his Bills this past weekend. And, you know, definitely would like to have Matt Rose on in the future as well. So what's it like for you to work with all these guys?
You know, it's a great team, and we all really get along really well. I work most closely with Derek just because when there's stakes races, he's usually on site or you know, he's my editor, so if I have to send things in, they go to him. But Matt, I work with because he was a Yonkers. He's now at Northfield, and I help out with the Yonkers handicapping. So we're kind of together there. And Garnet, I've known for a long time, both through DRF, and he was a regular contributor when I was working with the Horse Players Association of North America and doing the newsletter. So yeah, it's a great team, and, you know, we try to do the best we can, both on the handicapping side and the coverage side, whether it's stakes or sales or, you know, anything that's going on in the industry.
Well, Greg, with that, we'll get to some handicapping on our own. We have an 11-race program coming up Friday night at Woodbine Mohawk. We have, as usual, that $100,000 guaranteed early pick 5 pool races 1 through 5. And fans listening in can go to www.woodbine.com/mohawk/free-programs to get their very own free programs to follow along with you and I as we talk about this sequence. And, you know, Greg, this is an interesting pick 5 sequence tonight. As we'll see as we go through our tickets here, you go very cheap on your ticket. And, you know, I end up spending a little more than you. But honestly, I could see it chalking out as well, much like you do. It seems like it could be a very formful night. Now, I think the last time that me and my guest both said that on the show, I believe the first race had like a $100 winner. So there's that. But, Greg, race one is Phillies and Mares, 5-year-olds and youngers, 9 winners of 4 races or 52,000 lifetime. It's on the pace for a purse of 20,000, and you're just going to kick it off going just too deep.
Yeah, I just used the number 3 and the number 6. The 3 horse, you know, I think she's stepping up in, you know, one of them's stepping up in class. I don't remember which one, to be honest with you, but It's Dilly Taran who's stepping up in class from claiming company to this. But, you know, Garnet and I were talking. He was nice enough to help me out because this is a circuit he follows, and it's not the one I follow. But he pointed out to me that she's been racing really well, and this isn't the deepest non-winners of four race. And she's in very good form right now. So that's the one that that I'm going to put on top. And then I threw the favorite in as well. Just she's been racing well as well and comes off a win for Louis Waugh and a high percentage trainer.
Yeah, pretty similar logic for me. I just ended up throwing two more in as well. Three Racing for the Mark I used off of that win last time out. The 6 Dilly Taran, yeah, I don't think we're going to see 6-1 on her at post time. She does move in those claiming ranks, but that was a pretty big effort last time. 28-1 last quarter, 55-1 final time for the mile. Another 4 State of Mind, another one that I used here, finished third last time to Racing for the Mark. Actually ended up as the even money favorite there. And previously was the 2-1 favorite the start before at this level, so two times a beaten favorite. Ended up having to make a rush out of fourth past the opening quarter, last two back, rather. And last time out, you know, kind of got a pretty good trip there, though, and wasn't able to convert it as the even money favorite. But, you know, definitely I think she'll be a bigger price here tonight, probably not the favorite this time. So maybe this is the race to try to catch her at a price. And then the 7 Blonde on the Beach, victory two back against non-winners of three, jumped up to this level last time out and actually was the 3-5 favorite. Ended up having to come first over for a while there and just kind of tired through the stretch. So another one that maybe with a better trip has a chance, but definitely, I don't know, maybe a little dangerous here going 4 deep in a race that could chalk out, and in general, the sequence could. Which is, we go to race 2, Fillies and Mares non-winners of 32,000 in their last 5 starts on the pace for 28,000. You are going to use your first of 2 consecutive singles here, using just Trafalgar at a nice 9-2 on the morning line.
Yeah, I went back and watched the replay on this one, and the last time she raced, she was in the pocket, and the pace setter stopped in front of her on the far turn. She got shuffled back to last. Then when she was able to get out, she did make up some ground late. The trainer, Carmen Acciello, is doing well both down here in the States and up in Canada as usual. You know, so I'll just try to get some separation on others like Snow Shark, the outside horse I respect, but she has just one win since July. So that's the kind, you know, I probably want to take a shot against that because she's going to get bet hard like she usually does. So like I said, just looking at that traffic trouble she had and a good trainer driver combo, Dodie's back to driver too. So I just look for some separation and well with her.
Yeah, definitely can't blame you for singling there, Greg. But for me, I ended up using two of the likely favorites here, the 4 and the 6, Majestic Version and Snow Shark. They're ones that just kind of seem to have been knocking on the door here for quite a while. And as you mentioned, Snow Shark hasn't won in a while. Well, she won 3 back, but that was her first win in quite some time. But at least the recency factor, she's finished 1st and 2nd the last 3 starts. But hopefully she's starting to find some better form here. She's was 2-1 favorite last time out, finished 2nd in there, beaten by Swift Ally, who obviously she won't have to face this time. Does have to deal with the outside post here in the short field, though. And then the 4 Majestic Virgin's kind of been up and down the class ladder here, but it's kind of been competitive at every level, picking up checks in every one of her last 6 starts or more. And, you know, consistently hits the board, but, you know, has also been kind of looking for a win here for a while. So hopefully one of those two can break through for me. But if not, the Trafalgar, definitely one that I think you could get a pretty good price on here if she's overlooked on the board. So race 3, claiming 17,500 for non-winners of 80,000 lifetime. This pacer is going for 12,000. And, you know, Greg, I almost singled your horse, but I ended up using one other. But you are on cutting class here.
Yeah, he just he comes off a win at the same claiming level last time out and was claimed by Shane Barrington, who is a high percentage trainer and usually does well with the new entrance to his barn. Drew inside again. You know, I don't really see any reason to try to beat him right now. So I just singled him and we'll hope he gets the job done.
Yeah, the only other one that I took a look at here at a price was the 8, General Lee, who, you know, has been racing against Easier Company over there at the Western Fair and comes off some claiming victory against Easier here on January 10th, has good speed off of the gate, and, you know, with a very impressive winner by 7¾ here at Wood by Mohawk last time out, obviously takes a big jump up in class and has the outside post, but that's the one I'll look to at a price. But yeah, I've been a big fan of cutting class here in some of these recent starts, and definitely he's taken a lot of money out the window, so he'll definitely be an odds on favorite here in this spot, it would look like.
Yeah, that's the way I see it as well. And like I said, he's, you know, if people are just looking at the trainer, you know, the trainer sporting a high percentage and doing well off the claim. So I expect he'll get bet pretty hard like usual.
And hey, Greg, speaking of which, real quickly, sidetracking before we turn the page, I had on my show last week, Sugar Shannon Doyle, and as we record this Wednesday evening, it'll be posted here Wednesday evening as we're talking, or if anyone's listening to it right after this is posted, Sugar Shannon Doyle is probably in the middle of calling his last race card at Western Fair before he moves out to Century Mile, so obviously we'll wish him the best of luck with that move, and personally, that's not the move I would want to make. That's just kind of cold, to maybe even colder. So I would want like the Florida circuit with Gabe Pruitt or something if I got to make a move. But nonetheless, Greg, we'll wish Trigger the best of luck, best wishes for his new home out of Century Mile.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe Trigger's worked out at Alberta before. I know he was in the race caller at Northlands, I think it was. So he's kind of going back home. But yeah, we had plenty of snow here in the storm that came over the weekend, and I believe I said on Twitter that we need to have harness racing in Hawaii, and I would like to be hired by whoever wants to start that. So I would tend to agree. I'd rather be moving to a warmer climate than a colder one.
Yeah, for sure. I was just watching the Hawaii golf tournament this past weekend, and gosh, that looks a whole heck of a lot better than whatever golf courses are going on over this part of the world here this time of year. So definitely would be a better place to be. But yeah, right. Sugar did talk about, obviously, his time previously out at Northlands and out that direction. So yeah, kind of a homecoming for him in some sorts, but definitely a move and quite a long drive that he's got coming up here the next couple of weeks. And that will get started here. I believe race 10 tonight is the So Long Sugar Pace. So once they wrap that up, the final race he'll call, he will be in the car and on the way out towards Alberta. But Greg, we'll get back here to this early pick five sequence. Race 4, the Snowshoe Pacing Series, the first leg for the 3- and 4-year-old colts and geldings. It's not winners of two races or 30,000 lifetime as of October 31st, 2021. This is on the pace for purse of 18,000. It's the first of three divisions of the Snowshoe Pacing Series. We'll discuss the other two legs. They don't come in this pick five sequence. But here in the first division, race 4, you are going to use two of them to continue on your pick five ticket.
Yeah, I went with the 8 and the 4, who I think are probably the two of the three most logical ones. The 4 is probably going to be the favorite. But the 8, I thought last time out, when he just looked like he was kind of prepping for this race against non-winners of 4. And he was good in the Valedictory Series, which I think might be a little bit tougher than the Snowshoe. It has tended to be over the years. So I would expect Doug McNair is going to be more aggressive with the 8 this time. And then Texas Mickey's been in pretty sharp form for Ben Byarjan, and his credentials kind of speak for themselves as far as training goes. So I just kind of went with those two, and I think BP Rockin is coming out of the best race against somewhere the 4, and I think he should be ready for this.
So for me, I ended up going 3-4-6 in here. I agree with you, Texas Mickey, probably our likely favorite, looking for 3 wins in a row. He's been in pretty sharp form, as you mentioned. Now, the 3, Nelson Eddie Hanover, is the price that I'm looking at here, 8-1. That was a tough trip last time out. Post 7, didn't get away well off of the gate in that pop-up series final. But before that, I've been picking up some checks there in the first couple legs. Then it was disappointing, though, non-winners of 2 and non-winners of 3 here at this level was a pretty big price. So maybe that's a little bit of the concern here. But another nice inside post draw ticks up Travis Cullen to drive this time. So we will take a look at this one at a price. And then the 6, A Better Be Flying, comes out of a non-winners of 3 event where he won off of a perfect pocket trip, 5-1 the price, 28-3 come home time, 56-2 the final time. So hopefully that win got Tim maybe a little bit of confidence here and can try to keep it rolling here with Jody Jameson back driving once again. So 3-4-6 for me here in race 4. You will go 4-8. And so, Greg, you are 2 by 1 by 1 by 2 so far. So 80 cents going into this last leg, the 5th race. Phillies and Mares, non-winners of 6,400 in their last 5 starts, or non-winners of 13,000 in their last 10 starts, on the pace for a purse of 15,000, and you are going to go just 2 deep. So we're looking at $1.60 ticket, Greg.
Yeah, actually, I singled here. I just used the 3 was all Lions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard you then. That's an 80-cent ticket.
Yeah,
thing,
right? No, like I said, I kept it cheap. I thought it was really, you know, outside of Trafalgar, I thought it really had a chance to be chalky and didn't go real crazy. Garnet kind of turned me on to Lions Tilt Hanover in this last leg last night when we spoke. She's got the post relief and class relief combination going for her. and has beaten much better than these not all that long ago. So I think she kind of, if she comes with her best, she kind of sticks out against these.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, Greg. I guess I got my numbers confused with yours because I went too deep here using the 3 and the 5. Lion-Stilled Hanover, definitely the lowest class that she's seen in some time. Obviously, if you look at the most recent, you know, results, she hasn't finished very well, so maybe that's a question mark, but this is just such a softer field relative to what she's seen that she does seem to be the standout on paper. But the 5 Sporty Tory, I took a look at. You know, she's been racing elsewhere lately, but last time she was here at Mohawk, it was against Tougher. And she led most of the way to the top of the stretch, tired a bit through the stretch, but it was an interesting speed try. She went 27-1 in the opening quarter. It's really the only speed try in her form line here that she's got the mile in a while. So we'll see here if maybe that's kind of the tactics here against a field like this. Maybe she can try to control from the front end. Be interested to see what kind of drive she'll get here. So I'll give her a look at 9-2 on the morning line, but Lion-Stilled Hanover definitely will be taking a lot of money here. So 3-5 for me to close it out. Which means, Greg, to recap our tickets for you, it's going to be a 3-6 with 2, with 3, with 4, 8, with 3. That is an 80-cent ticket for 20 cents, so definitely an opportunity to play that ticket and try to hit it many, many times. But for me, it'll be a $19.20 play, 3-5-6-7, with 4-6, with 3-8, with 3-4-6, with 3-5. And so with that, Greg, we will take a look deeper on the card, taking a look at those other divisions of the Snowshoe Pacing Series. We have the first leg, again, race 7, 3- and 4-year-old colts and geldings, non-winners of two races, 30,000 lifetime as of October 31st, 2021, on the pace for the purse of 18,000. And who'd you like in this race, Greg?
I'm just going to take a swing with Silver Maple. Richard Moreau really needs no introduction. He's won the O'Brien Award about 100 straight years, I think. This horse finally draws inside after having the outside a couple times. And get Sylvain Filly on back. I think he's worth a shot. And he also raced in the Valedictory. Like I said, my hunch is that these horses coming out of the Valedictory, that was a little bit tougher series. So I'll give Silver Maple a swing for Moreau and Fillion.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see here what kind of price you end up getting on Silver Maple, because that's also the way that I went, and that's your second choice in the morning line. But, you know, has the inside post draw on the favorite, PL Octavius, gets much better post relief compared to that post 8 and post 9 in the last two, had to come first over the trip before that, so a bit of a tough trip there, and then was a winner in 53-3 back on December the 4th, so I've got to suspect that he's going to take some money, and obviously Sylvain Filion and Richard Moreau, all the more reason here. So I gotta suspect he will be taking some money, but I also like the 3 Silver Maple here in this 7th race. But again, PL Octavius the 7 will start as your 5-2 morning line favorite. Was going for 3 wins in a row last time, came out just short, beaten by a neck at non-winners of 2 company here at the Woodbine Mohawk. And then besides that, Premier Nacho the 4 will be at 4-1, and Michelob Ultra will be at 9-2 from post 8 here in the 7th race. So last one we'll talk about, Greg, race 10. Same conditions, same purse, same everything as that last race. Also the Snowshoe Pacing Series, another field of 9. Who do you like here?
I think the 5 Salzburg Victor is kind of looks like a standout against the rest of these. He seems to be in much the best form, and he rallied from the parking lot last time to finish second. I think he catches a group here that really, you know, have struggled to find the winner's circle while, you know, he's only missed the board, I think, 2 or 3 times in his whole career and won half of his starts last year. So I like the 5 Salzburg Victor quite a bit in this race.
Well, Greg, we surely do see these two featured races much the same. The 5 Salzburg Victor for me as well. Been in pretty sharp form here. Obviously, that victory 4 back, couple of seconds since then. It's hard to knock him here. He's now had 10 lifetime starts here. And has had 4 victories there, 4 seconds, so definitely has been in pretty sharp form the times that he's been seen on the track. But definitely does seem to be one that can do it kind of from anywhere as well. Ended up sitting the 3 hole there from post 2, 3 back, and still came on for a nice second, and was 18 3/4 lengths back last time out from post 9 at the opening quarter, and still came on for second. So surely is a pretty versatile type, definitely one that's hard to go against here. As Hippie John will be the 3-1 second choice. Horse that I like, though, underneath, Greg, just from a personal level, the 9, 4-Finger Floyd. Obviously, a lot of those wins have come at Rideau Carlton, but gosh, 11-21 last year. He's definitely a pretty special horse for those connections.
Yeah, you know, I guess I didn't see that he was 11 for 20, but yeah, you know, any horse that can find the winner's circle, no matter where it is, to me, you know, is worth a look anywhere. You know, like I said, I handicap Yonkers a lot, and in the fall you'll see horses come in from Iowa or the Canadian Maritimes or other fair tracks. And to me, as long as I can find the winner's circle, I'm always willing to take a second look at him.
Yeah, most certainly. This is one that he's picked up a couple of third place finishes at Woodbine Mohawk. The first one was at a pretty good number, even coming with a 7-win streak. Obviously, 7-race win streak. Obviously, they were not really willing to believe the Rideau Carlton form, but he's turned out to be a pretty good one. So we'll see what kind of money he takes. But obviously, post 9 not helping his chances here. And then the one Royal Tang will be 9-2 fourth choice. So that's kind of our contenders here for the Snowshoe Pacing Series. Again, this is the first leg coming up this weekend. 3 divisions, so split 3 ways there. It looks like 27 of them were entered. So definitely should be a pretty good little series coming up here to follow in the coming weeks. And they will all kick off here on a Friday night. So, Greg, before we wrap up, just a couple of minutes left. One last thing we didn't talk about. You mentioned a little bit of NASCAR interest. So, got to ask, first of all, since it comes up in about a month, have you been to Daytona and the Daytona 500? And two, I mean, I guess, especially if you're a harness racing fan as well, you kind of got to go to Dover at some point, right?
You know, I have never been to a NASCAR race. When I was growing up, they were all so far away. And, you know, same in Western Pennsylvania, the closest track would have been Pocono. And, you know, I'm not a person who minds just sitting at home and watching things on television, because, you know, I don't have to pay for parking or anything of that nature, and don't have to worry about the weather or anything. So, no, I've never been to Daytona. I've never been to Dover either, which is surprising, because Luke was, when I was working with him, was driving there and did quite well there. But no, I never have made it up to Dover and never have been to Daytona. But NASCAR is something I've followed for just about as long as anything. I started watching it in the mid 80s, which is kind of when my interest in sports started. So yeah, it's something I've followed for quite a while.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say that I follow it super closely, but there's not really a sport that I won't pay at least a little attention to. So for sure, I was always watch Daytona to kick off the season. And yeah, you know what? I've only actually been to Dover once, and you know, it's only 45 minutes from me here at the Rosecroft, maybe more like an hour 15. So definitely should try to get there more often, but do definitely enjoy it over there. And yeah, it's kind of cool to see the harness racing on the inside of the NASCAR track for sure. And obviously, always good to hear Jack Gallagher on the call out there, and Heather Vitale doing some work over there as well. So plenty of good people over there in Delaware. It's a pretty good racing over there as well, especially when you get to November, kind of kick off the meet there. Obviously getting the Matron as well as the Progress Pace, definitely get some pretty good races over there at Dover to kick off their meet, as well as at Yonkers, as you mentioned. And I guess while we mentioned them, just kind of mention some tracks. Yonkers just opened back up. So 6:55, that new post time they've got. And you know what I really like since they started entering it last year was that dollar pick six. You know, you get good little carryover there. It can create a nice little pool. I know there was like a string of 6 or 7 days earlier this fall that it wasn't hit. And I just kind of donated money to it every night. But at the least, it was something fun to watch.
Yeah, the dollar pick six is something that Alex, the director of racing, or wanted to try last year and had some success with it. And, you know, it seems like that value, that dollar amount kind of keeps, you know, it costs a lot, it costs more to play. So it's a little bit tougher to hit, a little bit better chance to get a carryover. And, you know, the 50 cent pick five is probably a little more well bet, like $10,000. 10,000 plus in it the other night. I saw the pick five, and so when it carries over, you know, there's quite a bit of interest. But yeah, you know, at Yonkers gets kind of a bum rap because it's a half mile track, and you know, of course, speed and inside post do well and things of that nature. But I think if you're looking for something to play that's you know, on during the weeknight when the Meadowlands isn't racing, you know, it's definitely something to check out, especially if there are carryovers in the pick five or the pick six.
Yeah, most certainly. Monday to Friday nights, 6:55 per post time. And that was some good little series coming up. You know, that Borgata pacing series last year was particularly fun to follow along with. That comes up in April. So we're definitely starting to work towards getting out of these cold winter months and back towards the stakes season here, hopefully sooner rather than later. And I guess at least for the road to the Hamiltonian, it'll all kick off in my place calling the Dexter Cup coming up in, oh gosh, I guess we're about 3.5 months away. So definitely closer than it feels like it was a little while ago. And with that, we'll be marching our way quickly to that first Saturday in August before we know it.
Right, yeah, the Yonkers Stakes schedule, I think the old Sagamore and Petticoat pacing series, they have different names now, but they're coming up in early March, I think, if I remember right. And then, yeah, the Blue Chip Matchmaker and the Borgata get underway in, I want to say, late March as well. And then, of course, they go multiple weeks. But, yeah, really looking forward to the stakes coming up here. I think a lot of horses are coming back. There should be a lot of excitement as far as, getting the Seahorse come back. We got a lot of geldings that seemed to race well last year, Alleyway, Hanover, and, things of that nature. So, yeah, looking forward to another exciting Grand Circuit schedule when it kicks off.
Yeah, most certainly. And, horse population seems to be pretty good right now up in my place at the Meadowlands. We've had 15 here the last 2 weeks to kick off 2022, and we got 15 again Friday and Saturday. In fact, I'm working on my handicapping before I got to talk on TVG Friday night for this 15 race card. So definitely a lot of good races coming up here, a lot of good things coming up. Opening night right now at Rosecroft here as we speak, sitting in the announcer's booth, getting ready to call our 10-race opening night card here in about 75 minutes. A lot of snow down here, so some horses weren't quite able to get the training in and not quite ready here for opening night, so we will hopefully be very shortly back to our standard 13 and 14 race cards with full 9-horse fields. And it seems like horse population's pretty healthy right now around the area, so hopefully we will get some good racing coming up. But with that, Greg, we are just about out of time, so I thank you so much for your time here this evening on the show.
Yeah, sure. I had a great time, and anytime I can help out, just let me know, and I'm happy to come on.
Hey, most certainly, Greg, we might take you up on that offer. We might have to throw you in a round table with Garnett Barnsdale and Derek Givner and get all the full DRF guys together and get a good little round table going.
Yeah, sounds good.
Alrighty, well, racing fans, with that, this will just about wrap up this episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. We will wish you the best of luck to those listening wagering this weekend, be it at Woodbine Mohawk Friday night, the Meadowlands Friday and Saturday, any thoroughbred you may be wagering on, the NFL playoffs, whatever you may be betting. We hope all your bets are winning ones, and we will talk to you here next time on First Over with Edison Hatter.